Backstory with Larry Potash has its 15th season going on right now, and it's on WGN-TV and the WGN Plus app. New episodes drop every Sunday night in October at 11 on Channel 9. And there's one man, maybe two, that are behind this award-winning series. Still the same time slot this season, which is amazing. And Larry Potash joins us. How are you, pal?
Hey, Dave. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and, you know, pretty consistent, right? I mean, pretty astonishing that you've just locked in something.
Yeah, this is like three seasons in a row, I think. So set your DVR, because I know I can't stay up late enough to watch my own show.
I love it. At what point, before we talk about all this, do you see the leather jacket making its way to the Smithsonian next to Henry Winkler's leather jacket?
Yeah, maybe season 215.
Okay, when you're wheeled in with the leather jacket.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, if I sneak in and I set it up myself.
Just get it on the air. Did you see the Emmys, by the way, this year, or any of the highlights with Henry Winkler and Ron celebrating the 50th of Happy Days?
No, I missed that. Henry Winkler is such a great guy, and as is Ron Howard.
Yeah, such nice people. But, you know, they recreated, like, SNL was celebrating 50, you know, their start of the 50th season. But Happy Days was it was a rebuilt Arnold's with Ron and Henry in their tuxedos standing there, and there was no theme that opened the curtain, and he's like, why didn't they play the theme? And of course, there's a jukebox standing there. He goes, no, you know, Ron, it's been a long time. I'm not doing that anymore. He goes, you really got to be in a spot. You got to be in a place. He's like, you went to the Yale School of Drama, Henry. Like, figure it out. You got 2 seconds. And he kind of catches the character and kind of walks over in his swagger and hits it. And, of course, the theme starts. And the audience went crazy, like, which was hysterical.
I am going to YouTube as soon as I get off the phone with you to go look at that.
Oh, it was so good. It's such a piece of our childhood. It is.
Yeah.
And then SNL kicking off its 50th. And I know when that first came out, by the way, 969 episodes, which I know we're going to get out of backstory at the end of all this. But
yeah.
But like when it premiered, like I don't know if I even understood half of it, but it was almost taboo, like, right, not to watch it. And that was the water cooler conversations in whatever
One of the attractive elements of that is that it's live, and everything is always so sanitized in our society and especially in media. And so, you know, you never knew what was going to go on. And now there are very few things that people gather around for a moment in time to watch TV like we did like 5 days a week to watch Happy Days or Law and Order or whatever it was.
Yeah. Even through Seinfeld. I mean, even through the 90s. Now people are talking to me. I'm, you know, going to dinner with another couple or whatever, and they're like, hey, are you... They could list 5 shows, and I have no idea what they're talking about.
Right.
I hate to say
it.
Yeah.
Yes, and we're not watching them at the same time, and there's something missing in that.
I agree. I agree with that. And it is a flashback to, you know, maybe simpler times for a lot of people to dip back into some of these classic shows. And that's one of the subjects, actually, on Backstory, is the allure of nostalgia. I mean, everybody loves it. They embrace it. I actually brought into studio tonight. I've got Billy Corgan coming, and he's got a Bozo event coming to his tea shop.
Yeah.
And I've got the Bozo drum that, you know, used to start the show and hit the show in studio. And I'm rolling it through the lobby, and I'm rolling it through. And people are stopping like, oh, my God, that was my childhood. And it just warms people's hearts, right?
It does. And you see on social media that you scroll through it, and it's, there is so much Super 70 Sports, there's Bannon Chicago, all these different social media handles looking backwards, which you wouldn't think, you know, the modern technology would do, but everybody wants to spend some time in their childhood.
Yeah, for sure. And I think what that, it gives you a break of the day. And if you're like an, you know, rabid social media, and you're on Instagram and you're on Facebook and you're getting pounded with political ads or just all that other garbage, you want that break, and you want to dip back in time. And that's why, you know, nostalgia is so important to people.
Yeah, we tend to gravitate towards it in times of stress as a way of comfort, but there is a downside to it. Sometimes you can get stuck, and those are the themes we explore in our piece in the debut episode.
Yeah, very, very cool. You've got a lot to talk about this season. interest. And by the way, I love that every subject is so far away from the other subjects that are on there. And I think, well, that's what makes it fun to watch. And you talk about the making of the Michael Jordan and Ryan Sandberg statues.
Yeah, well, I kind of wondered. I didn't, when we were growing up, there were not all these sports statues everywhere.
No.
And I asked somebody, I said, is this, it seems like after the Michael Jordan statue, these things went crazy. And he said, exactly, that's what happened. And the people who made the Michael Jordan statue, they were not only were they not from Chicago, they weren't from the United States, but they were in Chicago at the time, and they made a lot of these iconic statues, and we talk about why that just kind of proliferated, and it's really cool. We saw things that we couldn't share with the public at the time, like they were doing the Kobe statue. They were doing the Dwayne Wade statue at the time we were shooting this, but we couldn't show any of that.
It'll be a matter of time before some of these statues start coming down now political.
You know what?
Yeah.
Right. That's the point. You know, Dave, it's a good point. You wouldn't think, right? But, you know, Michael Jordan was a great basketball player, but, you know, we all heard the whispers behind the scenes. Was he a great guy? I don't know. You know, I certainly don't know him, but some people said he was not. And then maybe someday in the future they say, this guy should not be on a pedestal.
Oh, I mean, there was a Kate Smith statue in Pennsylvania forever. You know, she was the icon of their hockey team and God Bless America played and so forth. And, you know, you really could dig up anything from any time from the 1930s. I mean, something that absolutely was not acceptable, but you look back at the era, you could talk about everybody in every different era of politics, movies, film, history. You're going to find something, and we've grown out of that. And so does every statue have to come down? I'm not sure. The rise and fall and reinvention of the American Mall. And my son, intern, he graduated from School of the Art Institute in architecture, and he intern for a guy that's just recreating and reinventing the malls here in Chicago, and some of them a couple of times to figure out what to do with all this property. I mean, it's kind of a sad state, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we've been walking through empty malls. They're like ghost towns, and you're starting to see them turn like a Macy's into a senior living center or something, you know? And that's what it needs to be repurposed. And, you know, we didn't even question it when we were kids. And there's a whole generation out there that doesn't realize how big a deal the mall was, you know, when we were kids. But it really was a giant box full of stores.
Yeah.
And that's not what the intention was. The developers got in the way, and they were just trying to squeeze the money out of the giant box. And we talk about how this is really going back to the past, the way developers are trying to figure out the future of the malls. They're looking to the past and the way it was intended. So it's a very interesting story this week, along with nostalgia. So those are two pieces that are sort of companion pieces.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, Randhurst was already reinvented, and they blew out the mall and kept some of the anchors, and that's dead already. The reinvention is dead. And you look at, there was one mall I saw pop up on social media on the East Coast, the last store in the mall, and you had to walk into it for a while, was it like an Auntie Anne's Pretzels. And that's all that was in the entire mall. I'm like, really? But I mean, you got Golf Mall, you got Stratford Square just closed, Spring Hill Mall, Lincoln Mall, Oak Brook, Old Orchard are really doing a nice job reinventing themselves, and lifestyle centers and restaurants and nature preserves. But yeah, you really got to think deep into this. Tattoos. How many tattoos do you have, Larry?
Yeah, zero.
You're not a tattoo guy. No way.
You know, I couldn't find much about the psychology of the tattoo, and I sought out a bunch of experts, and a lot of them were hesitant to talk to us because they realize it's become so popular and they don't want to be seen as criticizing it. But I did find one guy who had a tattoo and wrote a very insightful piece about the psychology of the tattoo. And when I would ask people, they would say, oh, I like it. Right? Like, I know you like it, that you got it, obviously.
Yeah.
But what do you think it's doing for you? And why do you need it to do that?
Yeah.
When I present this, it's like they haven't thought of it. And so this explores those issues. It's really kind of interesting.
What is it going to look like in 30 years? And by the way, don't tattoo when you're just dating your boyfriend, your girlfriend. It's a mess. Always a story with that. Always a story with that. You got the backstory of the guitar.
Yeah, you know, that's one of those concept pieces that I really didn't know what the story was going to be. My photographer editor, Mike D'Angelo, loves the guitar. He plays the guitar. And, I, you know, usually when I go searching, I find some super dark element or a story, and I really didn't. But I did find something interesting about where the guitar, as we know it, started and how it evolved. And that really did surprise me. So it's a fun journey through focusing through a few different guitar players where I have a lot to say about how this works. And the U.S. is the guitar manufacturer. When people want the best, they come to America, and in many ways, a place in Chicago that we profile. It's a fascinating story you won't want to miss in our last episode of the season.
I was going to say, you don't want to miss any backstory. Sunday nights at 11 on WGN TV. Thanks, pal.
Thanks, Dave.